He had a long weekend.
Who?
Evan.
How do you know?
Because he just walked past us like we are monkeys in a cage. You come in here and say, what's up to the big dogs? You don't just act, okay, they put you on in the afternoon. Now you don't know us.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know if he heard that.
When was that?
When you filled in the afternoon a couple weeks ago.
One
Pastor,
day.
What you doing to me on National Radio Day, buddy?
Brand new
Damn,
man.
Damn, you okay, E?
Damn,
little
good.
Little drive-by there.
I know, I'm just
Dude,
walking
you
by
had
the glass.
This look one day. I said it, I'm like, he don't even know his guys. But you were focused, I guess. Damn, Pasta!
Well, yeah. I don't know how you feel, but you know this is like a it's like a gym locker room. People come in here all the time like and just disrupt things and want to
discriminate versus anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not anybody in particular.
Oh boy!
But before the show, people are doing their post games, coming during pre games.
I got
folks are coming in during breaks, talking about whatever. Man. We're trying to do a show here. So the one day that I'm not working on your show, I'm doing the afternoons, I want to give you guys your space.
Yeah, I was having a bad morning.
And you think that I'm turning my nose up at you.
Yeah, I was having a bad morning. I needed somebody to take it out on it. Damn, Pasta had the receipts. I'll tell you what, Evan, I told you this coming in. Confessions on National Radio Day.
Usher.
I'm watching I'm watching the Giants-Padre game. I'm in my 50s. I feel 35. Somebody ran on the field.
Oh, there was more than one.
And I wanted to see it. Show him, E. What does that say about my character and who I... Just show him. I know why, because then everybody would do it. But, E, I wanted to see it. Kite never laughed. Like, Evan, what does that say about my character that... Just show him.
I got a follow-up question. Do you rubberneck on the road?
I used to. I don't enjoy it, and I try not to now, but I do it to just remind myself and whoever I'm in the car with how dangerous it can be and stay off the phone.
Because that's sports rubbernecking is what it is.
But
you wanted to see someone get laid out by the Ray Lewis of the security team.
See,
it's rubbernecking.
Now, see that? No, the tackle's not what
Last
attracts
night,
me. I want to see
bent like a paperclip.
And there was a woman out there too. I want to see how long they last and do they zig.
An 8-year-old. He just got snapped in two.
Do they take you to the tank? You get a ticket, misdemeanor, and keep moving.
I actually do think that there's a little kind of I don't know if it's jail cell, but there's a holding spot in every stadium for drunkards.
But it ain't a felony,
No, but I think, you get in trouble for it. You get kicked out. I think there's
Evan,
a fat fine.
Show them. I got you.
Everybody wants to see the person run on the field, and I don't, you can't encourage it. That's why they don't show it.
Have you met any, and you could say confessions, do you know anybody that's ever done that? I can look you in the face and say I've never had a friend or family member that had the cojones to do that.
No, I've never known anybody that's done it, but I've seen someone prepare to go.
And like, what happened?
Well, no one stopped him. But you can see the person. All right, they're starting to take their shirt off.
Oh, boy.
Taking a last chug of a libation. Yeah. And then they start to inch their way down towards the side of the wall. And then they leap. And then they start running on the field. Now, as long as the person isn't naked, I mean, I guess
there's got to be a... What word am I looking for, Evan, as you jump down to a rush? Shout out to the Niners. There's got to be a rush to do something that dumb, but
I just
want to know how long you, like, I picture myself like, Evan, it'd take 2 minutes for them to get me. I'd be Walter Payton.
Well, you think you would, but then you get blindsided like Lawrence Taylor coming off the edge.
It's not exactly the guys chasing you aren't Bosa, so you could.
No, but there's like eight of them. They converge like hyenas. That's what they did last night.
They
both
did.
Of those people.
Yeah.
Can we just stop running on the field?
Yeah.
If you have run on the field, hit it 8-957-9570. Please tell us why. Why would you do that?
You got to be impaired.
And what the holding cell is like?
Yeah, there you go.
Four stars.
And how long do they keep you? Probably
overnight.
To the end of the game.
I think they hold you longer than that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have to make bail.
Yeah. Ortiz in the chat, member Angel Pagan clotheslined somebody one time.
Oh, then that's my kind of player. That's my kind of guy. Usually the players just kind of sit there and chill.
Yeah.
They just let them. They kind of use them as like obstacles.
Hey, before we get back into this, Trey Lance, real quick, are you concerned about the injuries that just keep piling up for the Niners? A nothing burger, or is it a burger with cheese and injuries?
Well,
grilled.
They got guys coming back and guys going down. So this was the update from Kyle Shanahan yesterday on those injuries.
Mac Jones sprained his knee in the game. He'll miss this week. Dominic Pooney, just updated, is a knee sprain. He's going to be out for a few weeks. And Patrick Taylor, who I think you guys saw go on IR, but he needs surgery for his shoulder because he ended up having a fracture in there.
And is there any concern Pooney won't be back for week one?
There's a concern, but I know he's got a chance to also.
Yeah, Evan, and I'm no doctor, but I always say, yeah, just when guys come back from injuries, then the second part of that is, yeah, they're back, but is Evan 100%? You know what I mean? So it's twofold. But, man, it just seems like – and maybe we're just starving for something, or you can't ignore what is the injuries just happening for the Niners in camp and preseason.
Okay, but before we get into the Kyle Shanahan sound, no, we got someone on the line. It sounds like they have run on the field.
Oh, boy.
This is Raider Javier.
Javier, talk to us.
Please, tell us why, what went down, and was it worth it?
Well, I was in my early 20s. It was Raiders, Dolphins, and it's something I'd always talked about doing with my buddies when we were, you know, kicking back a few on the weekend. And the opportunity kind of poised itself where we had some seats in the end zone there, and I had a buddy of mine that ran high school track, and I said, hey, my goal is to hit the 50. I'm going to need a block to get out there. And I said, as soon as the clock hits, 3 minutes to go in the game here, we're going to go for it. And it was about a 5 to 6 foot drop from the end zone to the field. And we ran all the way down the numbers, ran right by, I believe, Officer Jackson there, and ran right on the numbers. I kept looking down at the numbers expecting to get hit, but we went end zone to end zone, actually dove into the end zone,
come
and
on.
Then got tackled by Oakland's finest there.
So how long, what was that process like after? Did they took you to the tank, right?
How was the holding cell?
Well, they took us under, and the game had just ended, and I believe it was either Grady Jackson. I remember seeing Harvey Williams down there as well. And we're cuffed up, and the officers were really upset that we had done that. And they were making fun of, I believe, Officer Jackson, who had the field. And they said, oh, these guys ran all over you. So they were taking us under the stadium, passed by the NBC reporters. And Grady goes, was it worth it? And I go, heck yeah. And then the officers, you know, kind of were taking us down. And I believe the other officer says, no, you're supposed to take them this way. And there was like a station out in the parking lot where they cuff you to the tables and kind of just write you up, get you in the paddy wagon, and then you head down over to the holding tank. And we were there for the majority of the night before we got out of there.
Wow.
Damn, man. Raider.
Yeah. How many beers in you at that time?
17.
No, not that many. But
yeah, enough, huh? Yeah, I got you. All right.
Appreciate the call, Javier. Yeah.
And the honesty. Wowie. We met somebody that did it.
That's a real on-the-field correspondent.
Grady Jackson, remember old D-line, was it worth it?
Said, where's he going? You're taking him to the wrong place. Oh, man. Well, yeah. And, of course, there was a couple of people last night at the Padres-Giants game who rushed the field. I don't even necessarily know why. It wasn't even that exciting of a game.
Well, maybe that was why. They wanted to add some excitement.
Wanted to get something going on the field.
Well, if you're a Padre fan, you got to win.
And more steals than the Giants.
Yeah.
All right, Gil. So, no, I wouldn't... You wouldn't catch me running on the field. I don't have the guts.
We'd lose our
Javier
job here, right? Wouldn't he can call me in and be like, hey, it's over.
Yes. Oh, I think so. Although, all right, there are different rules for different people.
Oh,
you know
stop.
I believe this. I think I would get fired. I don't know if you would get fired.
Oh my, Evan, come on.
In fact,
dude.
It might be
you got it. You're
an opportunity
gone.
For content.
And that's the world we're in. We talked about it yesterday. Attention is a drug.
The boss might get you a raise.
Man.
There's only one way to
Hey,
find
look,
out.
Can you get on IG from there, from the tape?
We probably lose access to these
no
for
doubt.
Media purposes.
Yeah, Evan, you're fired. We'd all be fired.
Well, we wouldn't all be fired. It's a couple of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, 650. Looked like a 12-year-old. Again, he got bent like a paperclip. All right. So this is what's going on today. We're talking about 2021, sort of looking back at what happened with Trey Lance, because Kyle Shanahan was asked about it yesterday. That's the relevant piece of this. You know, when I say Trey Lance and the Trey Lance era, what do you think about? And Kyle Shanahan was asked that question at the podium. Here's how he responded.
I don't want to sit here and evaluate Trey too much. You know, I think I've done that before, but when I revisit that, we knew where our team was at and we knew where it was going to be the next couple of years. And we were committed to getting a rookie quarterback. We weren't sure that it would be forever, but we thought that was important to contractually with where our team was at in order to keep a good team together. So we knew we were going for a rookie, especially after a veteran left earlier that year. That was an option. So that was more of a plan in that way. Now we can go back to what we thought and everything, which I have no problem doing anytime, but I don't want to sit here and evaluate Trey again. I'm pulling for Trey. I love Trey. One of the best people I've been around, and I really hope it works out for him.
Why
I can't be mad at me.
Well, of course, because they've been successful since then, but is that the only reason that their feet aren't held to the fire about maybe the biggest draft day, again, gaffe in 49ers history?
Again, my answer to that is they had a safety net, and again the fans, the team, didn't have to revel in that or anguish in that failure because they got another diamond a different way nobody saw coming, and the train kept humming. So I do believe that's why it was just status quo. Let's keep going. And they kept going, NFC Championship game, then Super Bowl. Now you pay your quarterback. So, E, the bottom line is they got lucky as all outdoors because the team didn't feel the brunt of that colossal mistake.
But the Warriors didn't, right?
Yeah, because they had no Brock Purdy. It was they Wiseman was come. He was out. They didn't have any player that, you know, could make fans just forget. And I think Brock Purdy made fans forget about Trey Lance. But you'll never forget about the Capital.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Well, this is what I find interesting is we rarely ever discuss consequences, ramifications of the Niners' decision to trade 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance. But all the time, we bring up the Warriors' whiff on James Wiseman.
Yeah.
They're both busts. They're draft busts. Wiseman played one season, got hurt the rest. Trey Lance had played 8 regular season games. The Warriors won a championship. And I know that they don't have a whole lot of young talent in the way we look at Brock Purdy and some of those Niners that are on the team now, but I just find it fascinating that the excuse for why Trey Lance's draft bust doesn't matter to the Niners and to Kyle and to John, we don't give to the Warriors because they won a championship. If anything, they exceeded what the Niners did because the Niners have not won a championship.
No doubt.
And in fact, they did it the year after,
mm-hmm.
or 2 years after, I should say.
But what if I told you, as we do now in Warrior World, shout out Sheed, we're moving down that road to where that Wiseman pick is finally going. We're going to feel the brunt of it. It's coming. It may be here now, and that's why I don't want Kuminga gone, because when you look at possibly guys or options that could be the next face of the franchise, you don't have much, and Kuminga's one of them to me. So I think we're about to endure or embark on that terrain here with the Warriors because there is no next. And if you know, the Warriors would have, in that same draft, got a second-round pick, and he turned into an all-star. Maybe the Wiseman failure doesn't feel like a big of a gaffe as it does now to me, because it hurts the more I think about it. But as this Curry and Dre era and Kerr era wind down, Evan, I think that Wiseman will be brought up more and more, because now this is when you were supposed to be dependent on him. And
true.
The Niners didn't have to – they didn't have to stop and get gas – because they had a ready-made guy that hit the ground running and the team kept getting to great heights and almost won it.
But I do think that the Niners are feeling some of the brunt of that decision. Like, they're feeling the absence of players that could have been selected with those 3 picks. The Miami Dolphins selected Jalen Waddle in that draft. They used 1 pick to trade for Tyreek Hill, and they used another pick to trade for Bradley Chubb.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that the Niners, pardon me, would have got players of those caliber. But you look at some of the guys that were drafted after the Niners' 12th spot. Some of those guys could really help you right now.
I got you.
And that's why I think we're looking at a team that I think they could be good, but there's still a lot of question marks. And my point is, I don't understand why we look at the Warriors as being in their predicament, even though they're still pretty competitive, they're in a predicament because they missed on James Wiseman. But the Niners just seem to get a pass for what has been arguably the worst draft pick of the last 5 years.
But, Evan, I got you, and I hear you loud and clear. Very valid
because
points.
Of what they traded to get.
Right. But also, too, tell me if maybe it's not 100 miles per hour from the fan base, or even 35 for that matter, is because they got their franchise quarterback. I think that's a big part of why we don't hear much about it in regard to Trey Lance. And the only reason we're talking about it today is the Chargers are in town. Former Niner coach is his head coach now. But I think that has a lot to do with it. He is, yeah, they failed tremendously, but also there was some luck involved to where you got your franchise quarterback. And I'll say this to you. Wouldn't you rather it have it gone this way and go to NFC Championship games and the Super Bowl with your new prize quarterback that you lucked out on and say, yeah, we could have had Micah, we could have had Surtain, we could have had Pitts, as opposed to having one of those three guys and then just musical chairs, trust the process, and try to identify your franchise quarterback, which could take – we see teams take forever to try to find it.
Well, and this is another there's another similarity between the two drafts, and this is, I think, an astute point from the 408 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. Can't really blame the Warriors for drafting Wiseman. They needed a five. It was COVID, and honestly, that draft had too many unknowns. Anybody saying they knew would be lying. That's from Gil, so thank you, Gil. I think that also applies to Lance, because you look at the other quarterbacks in that draft class. The only one that's semi-panned out has been Lawrence, but they weren't going to be able to get him. Zach Wilson is on, I think, his third team already.
Dibs and I were the biggest fans of his, and yeah, we can say right now that's an L.
The guy that they wanted in the first place, according to many, Mac Jones, is also on his third team.
Took a team to the playoffs in his rookie year. I'll leave that there, but they said bye-bye to him.
He did. Yeah. Justin Fields, who you could have sat there and taken. He's on another team. Like, there were no good picks in that draft. Same with James Wiseman, but there's so much more energy for the Wiseman pick, and I just feel like both misses, there has been consequences, but we often highlight the ones attributed to the Warriors. We really don't talk about the Niners that much, and maybe it's because they've been able to survive it, but the Warriors did too. I mean, they won a championship in 22. They made
under the
second
old
round
recipe.
Last year.
Yeah, under the great old recipe, though, which still is here now and enhanced by Jimmy, but that was with the greatness of Steph and veterans.
But it doesn't matter because they still survived it.
Yeah, but now, again, and I'm Steiny and I and yourself have fought. I'm sorry. I'm putting LaMelo Ball, who was an option, along with the superstar or star, wherever you have Halliburton, the Warriors could have had him. Now, what would it be? I don't know. But you can't tell me those two names don't give you the win in regard to this conversation, as far as I don't think that's good enough for the Warriors to say, yeah, like we just did this exercise with the quarterbacks. And you're right. Nobody's really panned out. But I'm sorry. Halliburton or LaMelo Ball looking past his daddy? I mean, man, I would love to be sitting with two of those guys. No, one of those guys.
I'm 100% with you. I just think that you can also apply that to the Niners situation, which is, you're right.
And I hear, because you're saying the Warriors still won.
Well, no. Yeah, what I'm saying is that the Warriors missed on LaMelo Ball. Why don't we say the Niners missed on Micah Parsons? He was literally the pick that they had at number 12 before they traded it. How come we don't say they missed on Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell or Patrick Surtain?
That's
or any one of these Pro Bowlers that they could have had in addition to two extra first-round picks because they gave them up for a guy they had no clue about?
Mm. Nah,
I think they're very similar situations, but I hear a lot of people always coming down the Warriors road. And when Kyle Shanahan is asked about Trey Lance yesterday, I'm just thinking, why don't we do the same thing?
Mm.
It's not about Lance. It's not about bashing the player. To me, it's not about bashing Wiseman. It's about trying to, I don't know if it's hold accountable these front offices, but just simply ask the same questions.
And you're on fire. But, Evan, can I say, just taking a step back, they've been doing a whole hell of a lot of winning since the inception of Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. Like, has there really been time for a Niner fan to be crying in his beer to say, oh, we don't have this, we don't have that, when you had Greenlaw and you had the Eric Armsteads of the world and Hufanga, and you made the trade for. It's been good times in Ninerville, is what I'm saying, I guess. So like, I feel like Niner fan hasn't had bad times to revisit that, because they've been in Super Bowls and multiple championship games and playoff games they've been winning.
Well, the Warriors have done a lot of winning too. They literally won a title, and now still everyone is saying, "I can't believe they missed on James Wiseman." That's all I'm saying.
No, it's interesting, man.
Let's go to Dennis, who's in San Francisco. 888-957-9570 is the number. Kyle Shanahan was asked about Trey Lance. When you think back on that era, what do you remember? Kyle said it's not about the player. He doesn't want to go down that road, but we're doing it today. Dennis, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
What you said earlier, Evan, about that they drafted for what they thought for need, the Niners with Lance and the Warriors with Wiseman. You know, I agree with that. I don't understand, how they make those evaluations. And I don't know, especially the Niners. They seem to do terrible on the top end of the draft. You know what I mean? They just don't seem to be able to get it. And I don't understand, like, for me, you know, this latest draft with, the big question mark they're talking about now is Collins. Now, I read up on all this stuff. I look up all the mock drafts. I read up on the players. Alfred Collins was projected to be a late to a mid, a mid to late third round pick. And they picked him with the 11th pick in the second round. Now, for me, you just signed your franchise quarterback. For me, I know they need a defensive help, but they need to protect that quarterback, and they do nothing with the offensive line. Purdy, I'm afraid of what might happen to him this year, with the offensive line he's got now.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried about it. For me, the defense should have waited a year. I mean, does anybody know what the Niners were doing in the offseason? What they did, releasing guys, or letting go guys, made no sense to me, because a lot of it was they were getting the cap hit anyway. So I got the idea that they're doing a reset and that they're going to – they had to pay Purdy and whatever. I just couldn't figure out what they were doing. And, the one thing, trading Jordan Mason. I mean, and now look at their running back room. And Jordan Mason wasn't getting that much money. And I don't understand why they didn't keep him, and he knew the system. But anyway, Shanahan drives me nuts. he's done well for somebody that hasn't done that well in the draft. And as far as the Warriors go, what surprised me was, I like Kuminga, but we all know he was raw when they drafted him. You drafted Wiseman the year before, and he was raw. He was a young guy. He was raw. I was hoping that he was going to turn out. He didn't. And I'm hoping that Kuminga turns out, but that doesn't look like it's working out either. But why would they draft back to back these raw players? I'm the one that always called in and wanted to draft young talent because I saw so much of it in the league, But why didn't they draft Franz Wagner and Alperen Şengün? Those were two guys right in front of them. They didn't take either one of them. Anyway, I hope things get better, but they both painted themselves in a corner, I think.
I got you, Dennis. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, it's the current situations to me are directly tied to both the Warriors and the Niners' respective misses in the draft. And it just seems to me like the Niners always get the benefit of the doubt, and the Warriors are the ones that have to answer for their sins.
I love how you phrased that, but what if I did this, and we appreciate the call. Do the Warriors still need a big man, Evan? And what James Wiseman was supposed to be?
They might have found one.
And who?
Al Horford.
No, Evan, the guy said he can't fly. You might as well sign me up, and I'm rooting for Al.
Seven-footer.
To Pops but can dump. What about this? He'll be on with Willard and Dibbs today talking Valkyries.
Yes, he will.
Evan, what about if I told you the Warriors are still, why you hear more of it from the Warrior standpoint, is they're still searching for that position, and the Niners, they fixed, they rectified that position with, however they looked, whatever you want to call it, Brock Purdy gave you what Lance was supposed to be.
He did.
Can you give me some of that?
I can.
I know we're up against it.
Well, we just got to hit a break here. But on the other side, yeah.
Because Jordan Mason bothers me. Why is he not here? And I love Garrido, but damn, Evan.
He's a backup running back.
When he was the one, what did he do? Five games in, he was leading the league in rushing. I'm just saying, if Garrido can't stay healthy, what didn't you like in Mason to give him some change?
Three touchdowns last year?
And I'm not talking about, look at you, I'm going down. He was just about to touchdown. Dude, did you saw the yards? He was leading the league, man. He's a bruiser. Just saying.
All right.
Just saying.
I know. That segment was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I see your calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. Hang on. Through the break, we'll get to you on the other side. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, as well as fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BarryOilChange.com. Getting's in for Steinmetz with Guru back after this.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
I'll be back next week.
Yes, sir. He's having a ball. And your house sitting for him. How's that going?
It's going.
You cooking?
No, I'm always afraid to, like, when you house it in someone else's place, I'm always afraid to use things that aren't really for you. You know, like kitchenware, for example. I know it's all fair game, but like I don't know if I mess up his oven or mess with, you know, the stovetop and something happens.
I got you.
I just don't want to be responsible. So I'm doing a lot of takeout.
Yeah, I hear you.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. What you had last night?
Chinese.
Look at my man.
Taking care of the dog, taking care of the cat, taking care of myself. That's all that matters. Yes, sir.
A little chow mein.
Chow mein, fried rice.
Yeah.
Sweet and sour.
Look at my man.
Woo! Happy National Radio Day, everybody.
Who, real quick, you said play-by-play. That was what got you into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore? Of you growing up, Evan, to where you're like, man, that they're doing this like this is perfection.
Well, the first voice that I really remember is probably Bill King.
He's on my list. He's incredible.
Passed away, I think, 2005. But
did all three of them: baseball, football, and basketball.
He did. I only really heard him do baseball.
Okay,
because by that time, the Raiders had Papa doing their radio games, and then the Warriors had Tim Roy. So Bill King, I only really heard do baseball, and that was kind of my introduction to play-by-play. So he was like the first one for me, and I obviously only heard him for the last couple of years of his life.
That's awesome, man.
What about you?
Greg Papa. Get better, but Papa. I mean, Evan, I mean, he did everything here in the Bay. Giants, A's, Raiders, Niners, Warriors. I can remember the calls when I was in high school, you know, Warriors on the road in Indiana. So he's on my Mount Rushmore. Bill King. You remember Hank Greenwald? He used to be play-by-play. Hey, welcome, everybody. You know, that's what I would be sitting by my radio, and that was his thing. Welcome, everybody, and just listen to the games. But a guy that I want to put on my Mount Rushmore because it's a tie. Evan, a lot of people come down this road, and I know this is hashtag random Wednesday for your boy, but Joe Buck. He gets so much heat. I mean, I think he's excellent, man. Am I doing too much with that one?
No, people don't like him because...
Tell me.
He's kind of emotionless. You know, his calls are very precise, but they're very generic. You know,
that bothers me. Evan, did you watch the NFC Championship game in Seattle? One of the greatest football games I ever watched. Sherman got tipped cap ball, interception.
Yeah.
That punk know who I am, whatever he was saying there in Andrews. Him and Troy were incredible.
No, I really like Joe Buck because I think he knows how to feature his partner, and that's a part of the gig that I think gets unnoticed by a lot of people.
And who was that? Ishikawa, the home run here. Mm-hmm. That call gives me chills, man.
Well, again, he just gets out of the way. He calls the play, and then he gets out. I think Joe Buck's good. I think he is good.
Pasta, you like him?
Joe Buck's awesome.
That's man.
I understand the hate. It's because he's not a team broadcaster, and fans aren't used to that in the postseason.
Yeah, he calls it right down the middle, which is how I think he should.
Mm.
Anyway, he's not like Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan is over the top.
Superman! That dude is incredible,
imaginative
too,
and creative, but I think that Kevin Harlan kind of does too much sometimes.
Oh, Evan, I'm hurting now. He's incredible.
The game's not about the broadcast.
Kobe Bryant went to the booth. I was like, he's Superman. He's incredible.
He is. And that's his style. That's his style.
I got you.
Everybody's got their own ways.
Yeah. Oh, he dropped the ball. That's incredible.
He can take it to another level. No doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Let's go down to Palo Alto. Talk to Peter. He's been hanging on for a while. Pete, what do you got, man? How we doing?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Just to chime in real quick. Yeah, no, Joe Buck is awesome, and Kevin Harlan's awesome. They're both, you know, obviously different in their own way, but they're both great. But I wanted to chime in on your other conversation. You know, Guru is exactly right. You know, I'm kind of surprised I find myself saying that. But, yeah, 49ers have their quarterback. 49ers have their quarterback, and, you know, so they, you know, no question, Brock bailed them out. Brock absolutely bailed them out. I do have an issue with your conversation about Wiseman, and my thing is, the reason why is that the easy answer is there really wasn't an obvious choice right after. And don't give me LaMelo Ball. He's never going to win any. He's a flashier Jordan Poole. He's not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. I mean, that's the main reason. And don't say Tyrese Haliburton. Nobody knew that. Half the league missed on Tyrese. But so that's the thing is, that's why they don't get killed in the Wiseman, because there wasn't like there were the next five picks were all great players or anything. And I think that's the main reason why the Warriors don't get killed on the Wiseman thing. It was you go through that entire first round, it was such a weak draft. That's my two cents.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter.
I guess.
Couple things there. Number one.
Oh, my God. What was that?
Well, that was like you last segment when Pasta came back with that stray you threw at me from 2 weeks ago.
Dude, yeah, I still haven't recovered.
He's caught a bullet. Yeah. He said, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Goo.
Man, go to the doctor. But I'll tell you what,
the guy is drunk.
Hey, and Stoddy does this a lot. And this is how we just look at life differently. Evan, I don't care how many. I don't feel better because other teams missed out on Haliburton. Like, I just envision it. What if we would have had the wherewithal to know this kid was going to be what he was? Bam, he could be a Warrior. I guess I don't feel any better to the caller's point of, and we appreciate the call of, well, 11 other teams didn't know either, so we're good. Like, nah, I'm just thinking about what if they were sitting with him, and then I could hear Stoddy right now, Evan, because he said it to me. Well, will he be Haliburton? Because he'd be here with Steph, but we would know he would be part of the future.
But that's the point. And the caller was saying, you know, the Warriors don't get raked over the coals. Yes, they do. People come down.
Especially now, because we're getting to that point.
Lacob and Bob Myers and everybody who was a part of making that pick in 2020 to select James Wiseman, people come down their roads all the time. And that's kind of the comparison that to me doesn't really make sense. And, you know, like Kyle Shanahan's asked about Trey Lance, and I just think that it's a double standard, but like people do not go after the 49ers for drafting Trey Lance, for trading up to get Trey Lance.
Right.
They don't, and it's because they found their quarterback, and Brock Purdy from the last pick came in and saved the day. But my thing is, I guess I'm just, I wonder why we don't get more of that. Why aren't the 49ers held accountable the way the Warriors are for trading up for Trey Lance the way the Warriors are for selecting James Wiseman? Because the Warriors won a championship 2 years later. They still had success. They're still winning games. They're not doing it with young talent, but they're still winning in spite of that pick. The Niners obviously are winning or have continued to win in spite of that pick. But every time Trey Lance is brought up, which he will this weekend when they play the Chargers, it's crickets. Meanwhile, people want to take a flamethrower out and burn Chase Center down for them taking James Wiseman at number two.
Yeah, Evan, and I'm going to just say this to that, and I've kind of mentioned it before, but the bottom line is I still think that position that James Wiseman was supposed to fill, and we all got excited. I was one of them, the next great big in a Warrior uniform since Chris Webber. They're still looking for that, and I think that has something to do with it too. And the Niners, they got their franchise quarterback, and I think that just quiets the conversation or the despair, you know, because, yeah, they're still having success, and you talked about it, the Warriors are too. But, Evan, what was Trey Lance supposed to be? A franchise quarterback? Yeah, it wasn't Trey, but, Evan, they got their franchise quarterback a different way, And I think that goes a long way to why it's kind of been quiet on the set in regard to why they're not getting raked over the coals.
And we got some people chiming in on it. I think a lot of people are mostly with you. This is from Stephen Candelari of the...
Hopefully they're happy about it, Evan.
In the YouTube chat.
That caller is...
Most people agree with you, Goo, not just once in a while, like our caller there. I would argue the opposite. The Trey pick was actually worse than the Wiseman pick, probably because they gave up draft picks. And then this is from Toyota Tundra. They traded up to take Brock Purdy in some people's minds, so they get a pass.
Mm.
You know, I think that's the kind of mental math that a lot of people do. My point is that's not how it worked out in reality. Let's go to Marvin, who's in San Francisco, wants to talk about the difference between these two players and situations. Marvin, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking my call. There's a big difference between Wiseman and Trey Lance. The 49ers didn't have to get Trey Lance, particularly the way that they did it. And the proof of that is look who's the backup quarterback on the team now. You know, but I mean, and when I took one look at Trey Lance's release and that hitch in his throw, I said, this guy's never going to make it in the NFL. But anyway, that's another thing. The reason that James Wiseman is not like Trey Lance is because the Warriors and their coach simply refused to play the rookies. He owed it to the Warriors to tell them, don't use these draft picks because I'm not going to play rookies who make mistakes. We got to use these picks, especially the second pick, to get veterans and we can go for the championships. That's what Kerr owed the Warriors. When the Warriors did what the owner wanted to do, which is why he's backed Kuminga all this time, when the Warriors did that, Kerr said, I'll show them. I'm just not going to play these guys. And he didn't, no matter what they did. When Kuminga scores 20 points a game or whatever for a month and a half, he sat down as soon as they play a playoff game. And in fact, the reason the Warriors are in this pickle they're in now is because Steve Kerr devalued Kuminga. When you don't play a guy in the playoffs, and you don't play a guy in those critical games down the stretch, how can you expect other teams to give up a lot for the guy? You don't think much of them. Why should they? Well, and the dichotomy is we see that Kuminga can score between 20 and 30 points a game every time you play in 30 minutes. It's different, but he does it. So here we are talking about why the 49ers made a mistake. You know, I mean, look at how many number one picks don't make it. Look at how many number one quarterback picks don't make it, including the guy who's their backup on the team now. So in football, it's very different than what happened with the Warriors. The Warriors just refused to develop their players. They owed it to those players to not draft them if they weren't going to play them. But then again, Steve Kerr has a reputation in the rings and all that. So, you know, maybe we have to go with him, you know. And that's how we've ended up here without a center. Now, just a little context, if I may, for another 30 seconds. The reason the Warriors drafted Wiseman is you go all the way back to Nate Thurman when they had a center who was as mobile and as skilled as that guy is. They could have gotten Wiseman back after letting someone else develop him because he's been in Indiana all this time. Think Indiana would have given him Wiseman for Kuminga? I think so. They would have gotten that 7-foot mobile center. But they've allowed these other teams to develop guys. Centers take 5 years to develop. The Warriors didn't give him 1 year to develop. That's the difference. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And Steve Kerr, appreciate the call. Yeah, because I'm about to go there.
Okay.
I got to say this about Wiseman, and Steve Kerr doesn't need me to defend him. But in Kerr's defense, Wiseman started game one.
He played his entire full rookie season.
And there was, his hands weren't ready, but the caller was saying he should have been stashed somewhere. But he went to Detroit, then back to Indiana. But had he been what the Warriors thought, he got the opportunity right out to shoot, and that's when we were like, uh-oh.
Well, and this is why I also think the comparisons are fair. He also got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he would have amounted to a ton, but he got hurt pretty early in his career. Trey Lance, a lot of people don't think was given a fair shake, but he also got hurt twice in 2 years, which really stunted his growth.
Dude,
and also, I mean, both of those players were drafted to teams that were in the midst of winning. The Warriors were coming off of a championship the year before. The only reason they got the Wiseman pick is because they stunk.
Yeah, with 15 wins and Curry broke his hand.
Exactly. And the Niners stunk because everyone got hurt, but they'd gone to the Super Bowl in 2019.
High ankle sprain for Jimmy.
Both of these teams drafted players that were projects, the teams that were ready to win. That to me is the negligence that we don't really talk about a lot. Or to me, I don't know if it's the arrogance to believe that those players are just going to, you know, as experiments or projects turn into something. But I do think the caller's on to something in regards to, like, the issue that I have with the picks is not, you know, you needed a center. The Niners needed a quarterback. But you didn't have the runway ready for them to give them the necessary tutelage or development.
Mm.
Like he just said it. Right, it takes 5 years to develop a center, whether you think it's five or fewer. They didn't have 5 years.
And I believe that's why
they were
Andre,
trying to win.
Yeah, Iguodala and Curry were side-eyeing. Remember, at this time, Bradley Beal wasn't the bad Bradley Beal we saw in Phoenix, Evan, but they were saying parlay that pick into some ready-made NBA talent that could help this team right now. The microwave. Don't take a project. And Iguodala's on a certain, you know, kind of saying it subliminally or just outright, Evan, like, man, do you know what it takes to win? We got action, parlay that pick, and get some ready-made talent. But the reason you just brought up why I want to read this is you said the health. This from the 650. Damn it, Guru. Every time you flip-flop on Wiseman and the potential he had, what could it be and makes me, and this is my line, want to throw the radio through my phone against the wall. James Wiseman cannot stay healthy. You pointed that out.
Yeah, and he also wasn't very good when he did play. I mean, he averaged 12-8 on a terrible team. I don't know. I mean, as soon as he's resurfaced, he went to Detroit, and I think he was their third center.
Yeah.
And he's in Indiana and unfortunately tore his Achilles, I believe. But opportunity was not stopping James Wiseman from becoming
the caller. He missed
the next Nate Thurman, to our caller's point.
And it's playing out right now. And I'm rooting for the kid.
Paul is in Oakland. Paul, what's up, man? How we doing?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon, or late good morning, rather. Regarding that last caller, a couple of historical perspective things just to keep in the forefront. Nate Thurman was drafted when the Warriors still had Will Chamberlain, and he played power forward, actually, until the Warriors traded Will. And I love Nate Thurman. I mean, he's a Bay Area icon, but I think it's important to note that the Warriors did not win NBA championship until Dick Vertlieb came in as the general manager and pulled the trigger on the Thurman of the Chicago Bulls and bringing Clifford Ray to Oakland.
Mm.
I think that's one thing. And the caller also mentions the Warriors never invested in a center, you know, from drafting Nate all the way through Wiseman. And I think we gotta bring up the name Joe Barely Carroll, and recall that his years with the Warriors were marred by this guy being extremely skilled, but as skilled as he was equally soft and disinvested.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, everybody's looking for
Chris Webber.
Well, the next big thing, everyone's looking for a quarterback, and the 49ers, well, they stumbled into one.
They think they have one, and that's why this year I'm excited.
They do have one.
Yeah, no, they do, Evan, but, you know, you want them to be in, I guess, that top four list that we kind of had fun with last week and this week. You want them to kind of get closer to that, or has he already shown you? No, Goo, I'm not. That's not what it's about. I'm not trying to go up Evan Giddings' rankings in regard to top quarterbacks. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, and I had a shot. You just wonder now if this roster has enough depth for him to get back and do that with him having to pull the tractor a little more than before when he had the luxury of kind of doing what Jimmy did, you know?
Well, I think it's going to be hard for him to do that with this current cast. But again, if you had a couple of other first-round talents, which you sacrificed for a player that played 8 games in 2 years and then you shipped off for a fourth-round pick, he might be in a better position to succeed. You know, I think that's, again, like you look at some teams and how they've been able to, you know, use draft picks to recoup talent. It seemed like the Detroit Lions is a perfect example of a team that traded its quarterback, got a bunch of first-round picks, as well as, obviously, another quarterback, and they've used that to build a really talented offensive line and weaponry around that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brock Purdy hasn't... he doesn't have as much around him.
And the Rams, I don't know where you come out on this, Evan, but that's kind of almost the definition of a trade, a good trade for both. The quarterback they traded went on to help his team get a Super Bowl. And then you got Jared Goff for umpteen years, injuries last year, but you were electric and got to this NFC Championship a couple years ago. The Niners.
And that's kind of the thing. It's like, they traded three first-round picks for Trey Lance. And again, while we're talking about this, Kyle Shanahan was asked about Trey yesterday at the podium and said he's got nothing against Trey, has a lot of love for him, but explained that the whole reason behind drafting Trey Lance or trading three first-round picks was because they wanted a guy on a rookie contract so that they could keep the rest of the talent around him. Now, they traded up for a project, and that's to me where I see a lot of comparisons between him and Wiseman. But to me, like, they swung so big at a position that they had been able to do. And you bring this up all the time. Like, I don't really like Jimmy Garoppolo, but to your point, he was the quarterback for a team that made the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
And they swung so big at a position that they already saw could get them almost to the edge. But could get you a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl.
But let's be honest, Evan, real quick, not to interrupt you, Jimmy would always get hurt. And that year that, didn't go well when during COVID, he had the high ankle sprain. And I know Kyle was just kind of tired of, man, when he's upright, we got action. But when he's not, we're done. And that's kind of what they were living. And I think that had something to do with him wanting to trade in Jimmy for something new or newer model.
Well, I think that's also one of the reasons why they took a flyer on Purdy. Yeah. They ended up being the best flyer that they've had in a decade, basically.
And what's funny about this conversation, Evan, is I don't think either team, because there's misses, and now there's going to be impact. And you could say or make a point that, the Warriors or the Niners are feeling that impact now as you get down the road. But I don't think the Niners, I know the Niners don't, and the Warriors don't regret moving on from both of those individuals. Like you said, Wiseman's not telling on himself.
Oh, no, of course not.
But he hadn't went off and blossomed to be an all-star. And Trey Lance, Dallas didn't want to keep him around. And I'm not saying he's a bum, but Evan, I don't think he was worth where they moved mountains to draft him. I think it's fair to say that.
415, Boxer and Gerson, work injury attorney's text line. Brock doesn't have a lot around him because he has to get paid. Yeah, he did have to get paid. There are also a lot of other quarterbacks that have been paid who have been surrounded with talent, and a lot of it is cheap. And a lot of it is from the first round, which the Niners sacrificed to get Trey Lance. Mm. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. We also got to get to some other stuff.
Yeah, we have it.
Well, do you want to tease it? I was about to get into this here, but
yeah, I'm stepping on you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Well, Goo, there is some Warriors news that we're going to get to in a little bit. And also, too, I along the lines of National Radio Day, if there's any moments from this show or other shows at the station that you remember, you just, kind of fell in love with. I actually wrote a few down that are some of my favorite Steiny Goo moments. Or just how you got into radio. Like, how did you become aware of sports talk radio? Was there someone who really called to you that made you want to come back? And why do you still participate in this forum? At least the one that Guru and I love, and obviously has us employed. All right.
My man.
888-957-9570 is the number. Getting in for Steinmetz with Guru. We're back after this.